Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM, and today we have a special guest, Spencer Cawley. We met Spencer, and welcome to the show, by the way,
Thank
Spencer.
Thank you, Bill.
We met Spencer at one of our Compassionate Boldness symposiums, and Eric got to talking with you and hearing about your story, and it always fascinates us to listen to the story of individuals who come out of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I know whenever I have the opportunity, when I'm ever volunteering at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore and we have ex-Mormons come in, I always want to know what it was that started them thinking about leaving something that is such a big part of their lives. Hopefully, maybe if some of these things that they relate to me will help me in my witness to them, or at least in my study to them. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
First of all, Spencer, your membership in the church, you go back, you're generational Mormon.
Generational.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Grew up pretty typical Mormon, Utah Mormon upbringing in the church. But yeah, family goes back four or five generations. My dad was a bishop, served multiple higher callings in the church. I grew up in that kind of context, and happy childhood, did the scouting thing, got the priesthood when I was 12.
Old Aaronic priesthood.
Old Aaronic priesthood, and made my way through priesthood offices. Ended up at the age of 18, actually, a little before I turned 19, went on an LDS mission to Cleveland, Ohio. Had a great time, loved my mission. You know, before I'd left, I'd met my sweetheart, Chris, in high school, and we'd gotten engaged. And initially, I hadn't planned on going on a mission, but it was kind of interesting. Her dad had said, I had asked for his permission to marry her, and he says, if you go on a mission.
Uh-huh.
And I says, okay. I will do that. And
now, that story is kind of unusual, because you were telling us off air that you actually went on your mission at a much younger age than most missionaries.
That's true. I went when I was 18.
Apparently, your family had some connection with a general authority.
Because actually, my wife's father, who was a state president at the time, mm-hmm. They used to have visiting general authorities come up for state conference. And so Elder Yoshihiko Kikuchi. Uh-huh. Was the general authority visiting at that time, and my wife's father asked him for permission that I could leave a little bit earlier, and it was only a few months. Mm-hmm. I left to the MTC in July of 1987 and turned 19 while in the mission field in September of that same year.
Your mission experience, good, bad?
Wonderful. I've got nothing but fond memories of that, and mostly because of the friends I made. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I did have a few baptisms. It was a tough area.
Cleveland,
Ohio is kind of, it's not the Bible Belt, but you get a lot of, it's very strong Catholic area, and is an evangelical Christian. So
When I always like to ask this of former missionaries, because I think it's a lesson for all of us as Bible believing Christians to learn from, and that is your overall experience meeting some professing Christians at the door.
Yeah, it was wonderful, because interesting story. We had been tracting, and we tracked it out a Baptist pastor, and he invited us golfing.
Oh, really?
With him and his fellow pastors. So we had about four or five of us LDS missionaries, and there was about four or five pastors, and we went golfing one day. I remember that, and I don't remember talking religion. I just remember them being really nice and very cordial and not confrontational at all. You know, just nice.
Do you kind of wish they were maybe?
I actually do. Okay. I really do wish maybe they would have pushed it a little bit. Because I'm not sure how it might have planted a seed for me a little earlier.
Now, you said that your sweetheart, you were engaged to, and you're on your mission, and so you're pretty much expecting her to remain faithful, and you said that she did. What about, I mean, that's unusual to get engaged before you go. Yeah. What about some of the other guys who had girlfriends? Were they were they getting Dear John letters? Or?
There were a couple that did, but not a lot of the missionaries I had interaction with had girlfriends that they talked about. So they might have, but it wasn't a big drama that I knew about anyway with missionaries in my circle. And with Chris, you know, where we were engaged, she finished her bachelor's degree while I was on my mission, so it worked out really well.
When you were on your mission, did you have Christians at the door that challenged you on what you believe?
Yes. There were a lot. There would be times where we would be tracking down one side of the street and the Jehovah's Witnesses would be tracking down the other side of the street. And so that was interesting. We got into a lot of interesting conversations. But yeah, there were Christians who would challenge us. And I always took a very defensive position, a very, my own word, condescending position. I'm right, you're wrong. There was never really a spirit of love there. It was all usually always contentious.
On their part or your part?
Both. Mainly okay. Mine, because I had an agenda, and I did a lot of study, and we called it Bible bashing.
Mm-hmm.
And so my agenda was to prove them wrong.
Mm-hmm. See, that's not unusual, and that's something that I'm very concerned about, because I think as Christians, if we really have the Holy Spirit in us, and we should behave in a certain way, and certainly flesh can always get in the way of
sure.
a conversation. Many times Christians are not used to confronting someone on what they believe, and so they don't know how to handle it right.
Right.
So I think there's a lesson there for Christians that are listening to this, that look, when the missionaries come to your door, they're not the enemy. They're usually, like in your case, very young men who are still developing some of their belief systems and may not be sure of a lot of the things that they have been told to believe, and might have some real serious questions. And I've often used the expression that even if a Mormon could convince me that my positions were wrong, if they've behaved towards me in a very bad manner, why would I want to sit on a pew next to that person? And I think as Christians, we need to think about that we have an opportunity to share what we believe with the young men or the young women that we come in contact. Probably won't be so much coming in contact door to door, because it sounds like they're going to start pulling the rug out of that program. So things are going to change a little bit, but still our behavior with people with whom we disagree should always be a positive experience, I would hope, for most people.
Now they're allowing 18-year-olds to become missionaries. What's your view on that?
I think it has disaster written all over it. I'm not sure maturity-wise that these young guys and gals will have the maturity level to just be out on their own and being. I mean, I know that there's kids that go out and do that, but it's a different when you get out there and you're on your own and you're proclaiming a gospel that you're supposed to know the truth about. And to be quite honest, my testimony was largely based on my family and my leaders around me. And I hadn't even read the Book of Mormon when I went out in the mission field, let alone the Bible. So I'm going out and proclaiming a truth that, if I'm being honest, I had no, it was disingenuous. I didn't know. And I would boldly proclaim, I know. And that's difficult.
Do you think that was a desperate move on the part of the church? Some are saying it would be.
I think it is. I think to kind of challenge the growing disaffection that I feel. I mean, I don't have numbers to prove it, but it just seems to me there's a lot of disaffection. There's a lot of members of the church leaving based on what they're finding out, the truth, what they're finding out, like on the internet, for example. I just think the internet's, in my opinion, been the death knell in a lot of ways, and they're combating that by flooding the.
Yeah, and you went in the late 1980s, right?
Right.
The internet wasn't an issue
wasn't
as it
an
is
issue.
Today.
No.
How many converts did you baptize?
I baptized six.
Okay.
I baptized six, and that was above the usual number for Ohio at the time. They always give you the average, or every missionary knows what the average baptisms is in their mission. That number seems to float around, but ours was one at
wow.
the time when I was out there.
One for 2 years?
One for 2 years.
So you got you six times.
I got, with... yeah, which was pretty unusual, and yeah.
Did you ever feel intimidated by some of the people that you came across? Maybe they knew more about Mormonism than
yes.
you did?
Yes, that happened quite a bit, and I always felt really guilty for not having read the scripture, what we call the scripture. So when I say that as an LDS person, I'm referring to the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine and Covenants, and the Pearl of Great Price, which I had read none going into the, really. Yeah.
Well, I do find that a lot of missionaries, if they're candid, they'll admit that if they had not read it at all, like you, they only read it recently, and certainly could not be an expert in its contents.
Absolutely.
If that's all they've done is just done a cursory read of it.
But you would say that you had a testimony, you prayed about it, and that you were able to tell the potential converts that it was true. You knew it was true.
Yeah, and you know, I look back on that, and for me, that was one of the biggest disappointments I have today, is that I lied.
We've heard that from other former missionaries too, that they felt like they really had to fudge on what they were saying to the prospective converts or even investigators. To what? Maybe give them a sense of confidence in what you had to say as well, and confidence in the church. I still think it's a brilliant system, though, sending out young people who really have no authority to speak for the church, and to get them out there. Most people don't expect late teenagers to have a real in-depth knowledge of most anything, much less theology and history of the church of which they belong. And so it can certainly work in the church's advantage for that plausible deniability when
Absolutely.
A young missionary really blows it. I've had many missionaries, and I've said this many times, unfortunately, when you challenge them on something, they tend to shoot from the hip, and I'll go, wait, where did you get that?
Yeah.
Or they'll misquote a verse out of the Book of Mormon, and I'll have to correct them and say, that's not really what that says, and that kind of upsets them sometimes, I'm sure. Remember the time that you took your class to the Mormon Battalion Visitor Center, and the missionary was stumbling on the Lorenzo Snow couplet, and your class finished it for him.
And that's the first thing I would teach my students was that couplet.
He was shocked. I remember sitting in the back, and he's going, wow, you guys know that? And, well, we're going to teach them right, and we're going to teach them from their own material. Spencer, we want to continue this conversation tomorrow, and I think it really helps a lot of people to kind of hear the background of people who were certainly faithful to the Mormon system and then eventually left. So we're going to pick up this conversation.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like a chance to travel to the biblical lands of Greece and Italy? Mormonism Research Ministry is sponsoring a trip of a lifetime that will take place September 2014. In Italy, we'll visit a number of sites that have Christian significance, including taking a walk on the Appian Way, the ancient Roman road used by Paul, and experience the underground catacombs where early Christians were buried. Italian cities that we'll explore during this 10-day trip are Pompeii, Rome, Florence, and Venice. And during an optional pre-extension tour to Greece, we'll see Delphi, Corinth, and Athens, including Mars Hill from Acts chapter 17. Your price will include the international flights, 3- and 4-star hotels, breakfast and dinners, a dedicated guide with our own bus and driver, all admission fees, and even all taxes and tips. To get more information, we invite you to visit theapologeticstudybibletour.com. It's all one word. Again, that's theapologeticstudybibletour.com. No doubt, this is a trip you simply won't want to miss.